past generation, there are two modes of thought that are common, and there are two ways that they can be dealt with. From the point of view of some people, these youth are an insensitive and rude group of people who have been deluded and enraptured by their own lower desires. They are worshippers of the self and possess thousands of other deficiencies. These people who think this of the younger generation are constantly making faces at them and are always speaking bad of the same generation. However, the youth see themselves as the complete opposite of this picture. The youth do not see themselves as having any deficiencies. They imagine themselves to be the effigy of intelligence, the effigy of sagacity, the effigy of higher qualities. The older generation thinks that this group has fallen into disbelief and that they are plunged into sin, while the new generation thinks that the older generations are simple-minded and ignorant. The older generation tells the newer ones that they have lowered themselves to the worship of their own selves and have become disbelievers, while the new generation tells the older one that they do not know what they are talking about and that they do not understand them. Generally speaking, of course, it is possible that one generation may consider the previous generation as being righteous people, but it is also possible that they may consider them as being misguided. An example of two generations. There is a verse in Surah Al-Ahqaf that was recited before I began my discussion. In my opinion, this verse actually portrays the scene of two generations, that of a righteous generation and that of a generation that has gone astray. We cannot say that without a doubt every preceding generation will be more corrupt than the previous generation and that the world is going closer towards corruption day after day. At the same time, we also cannot say that the future generations will be more perfect than the previous generations and will never fall into error. The verses that we wanted to look at are as follows. Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse number 15. And we have enjoined on mankind kindness to his parents. In pain did his mother bear him, and in pain she gave him birth. The carrying of the child to his weaning is a period of 30 months. At length, when the child reaches the age of full strength and attains 40 years, he says, O my Lord, grant me that I may be grateful for your favors which you have bestowed upon me and upon both of my parents, and that I may work righteousness such as you may approve, and be gracious to me in my progeny. Truly, I have turned to you, and truly, I am of the Muslims. This verse of the Quran presents us with one of the ways of thinking and understanding of a righteous generation. It has been said that this verse was revealed in relation to Sayyid Sayyid al-Shahada Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Of course, he is simply the most perfect testimony of this verse. However, the verse is the general, all-encompassing verse. In this verse, there are five characteristics which have been mentioned for a righteous generation. The first characteristic is that of a soul which is thankful and realizes the importance and worth of the blessing and gift of creation. O my Lord, grant me that I may be grateful for your favors which you have bestowed upon me. Such a person looks at all of the blessings and bounties that Allah has given to both of them, that is the mother and father, and the previous generations, and then says, O Allah, give me the strength to be able to discern the truth and realize its true worth. Give me the strength to be able to make the best use of the blessings that you have showered upon us, such that would earn your pleasure. To be thankful for any blessing means that we make use of the blessing as it should be used. After this, we pray that Allah should give us the ability to perform actions that He is pleased with. We pray that we too should be given the chance to act in a way that is beneficial to ourselves, to others, and perform those things which would earn the pleasure of Allah. And that I may work righteousness such as you may approve. The third prayer is that we turn our attention to the future generation and ask Allah for their goodness and for them to be righteous. And be gracious too, through my progeny. The first request made is that we are permitted to turn back towards Allah for the mistakes, slips, and shortcomings which we performed in the past. Truly, I have turned to you. The first and final prayer in this world is that we ask to be granted the state of submission to the truth and those things which Allah has specified for us in relation to the natural world and the Islamic legislations. It is through transgressing the limits set by Allah that leads to our destruction and annihilation. And truly, I am of the Muslims. In relation to this generation mentioned above, it is then mentioned in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse number 16. These are they from whom we accept the best of what they have done, and pass all their evil deeds among the dwellers of the garden, the promise of truth which they were promised. In this part of the verse, the tense changes to the plural form, and thus it is clear that it is not in reference to one individual. In this verse, it is stated that such are they from whom we shall accept the best of their deeds and pass by their ill deeds. They shall be among the companions of the garden, a promise of truth which was made to them in this life. However, the following verse is in relation to the corrupt, misled generation, and it states, "But there is one who says to his parents, 'Woe on you! Do you hold out the promise to me that I shall be raised up even though generations have passed before me without rising again?' And the two of them, the mother and father, seek Allah's aid and rebuke the son, saying, 'Woe to you! Have faith for the promise of Allah is true.' But he says, 'This is nothing but tales of the ancients.' A conceited, perplexed, and mentally undeveloped generation would learn a few things and then would not believe anything else that they hear. Thus they would cease being servants of Allah. They would say to their father and mother, 'Woe upon you!' They would make fun of their parents and would resort to laughing at their thoughts and beliefs. So the generation would say to their dumb, 'Do you hold out the promise to me that I shall be raised up?' Such a generation exclaims, 'Do you expect me to believe that there is another world after this one, or that there is another life after this one? Whereas we see that previous generations came, lived, died, and this is it.' The father and mother are religious and are not prepared to hear anything that goes against their religion and faith. However, at the same time, they see that the dearest of people to them is speaking to them in such a way that it makes them upset and forces them to say to their child, 'Woe to you! Have faith, for the promise of Allah is true.'" One of the most painful things for a religious father and mother to see is their dear child drifting towards disbelief of the religion, or to see him or her deny the belief and go towards kufr, that is complete disbelief. And the two of them, that mother and father, seek Allah's aid. It is at this time that the cry for help can be heard in the heavens when both the father and mother call upon Allah. However, the child replies to their peace by saying that, "This is nothing but tales of the ancients." This verse gives us a picture of two completely different generations. One verse shows us a righteous generation, while the other verse gives us the image of a corrupt generation. With this said, let us see which group our young generation falls under. The youth of today. Our young generation of today has both good qualities and some deficiencies in them. This generation has a series of understandings and emotions that the previous generations did not possess, and therefore, we must always give them the benefit of the doubt. At the same time, they also have some corrupt thoughts and negative ethical traits which must be removed from their character. It is not possible to remove these traits from them without keeping in mind and respecting the good qualities that the young possess, meaning their understandings, emotions, and their other noble traits and qualities. Thus, we must show respect to them in these regards. There is no dead end in life. There is no dead end in life. In the previous generations, the thoughts and minds of the people were not as open as the generation of today. These emotions and good qualities were not present in the people of the past, and thus we must show respect to the youth for their noble qualities. And it is Islam itself which has shown respect to these traits. If you do not wish to pay attention to these issues, then it is impossible to think that we will be able to take charge and remove the intellectual perversions and the negative ethical traits from the future generation. The method that we have presently taken in the face of this generation is that of making faces at them, criticizing them, and slandering them. We are continuously crying out to them that the movie cinemas are like this, the theaters are such, the guest houses that exist between Sham Iran and Tehran, which are two cities in Iran, are such and such. The dance halls are like this, the swimming pools are such, and thus we continuously cry out about the corruption in all of these places, and you must know that this is not the correct method to follow. You must return back to the original reason for the corruption found in these places, and why this new generation not go to these places. The difficulties of this generation must be understood. Our main focus and concentration is that we must first identify where the pains of this generation lie. We must identify the intellectual pains, the academic pains, those pains that would point us to them being aware of their responsibilities. Meaning those things which trouble the youth of today, which did not trouble the youth of the past. In these regards, the poet Maulavi has stated, "Remorse and humility occur at the time of illness. The time of illness is holy wakefulness of conscience. The more wakeful anyone is, the more full of suffering he is. The more aware of God he is, the paler he is in countenance." In the past, the doors to the events of happening around the world were closed to people. When the doors are closed to the people, then life is easy. The windows too were closed. Thus no one knew what was happening outside of their own home. No one knew what was happening outside of their own city. They did not even know what was happening in other countries. Today, these doors and windows to other cities and countries are wide open. Today, the people are able to see the entire world and the advancements that the world has made. They see the knowledge of the world, they see the economical powers around the world, they see the political and military powers of the world. They can see the democracies of the world, they see the equality that is taking shape around the world. They see the various movements, uprisings and revolutions taking place in the world. The youth are seeing these things, thus their emotions run high, and they have a right to see these things and to think for themselves. Then say, being left behind in the face of all of these advancements. In the words of a poet, "I must speak the truth that I cannot stand to see my opponents living well while I simply watch on." In this way, the world is moving forward towards political, economical and social freedom, and is moving towards greatness, splendor, honor and freedom. However, we are still asleep or are witnessing this movement from far and are yawning away. The previous generations did not understand all of these things and could not discern them. However, the new generation has a right to say, why is it that Japan, which is a country of idol worshippers, and Iran, which is an Islamic country within the same year and same time period of existence, realize the need and have developed a new civilization and industry? However, we see that Japan was able to reach to a level where they are very easily able to compete with the Western nations, whereas we see the condition that Iran is in. The poet says, "Layla and I were traveling together on the path of love. She reached to that what she was searching for, while I still have yet to get there." Does this new generation not have the right to ask such questions? The previous generations did not have the heavy weight of foreign interference bearing down upon their shoulders that this current generation is experiencing. Is this a sin? Of course not. This is not a sin. Rather, experiencing this is actually a heavenly message from Allah. If this feeling and experience was not there, then this would have been a sign that we are the target of the punishment and chastisement of Allah. So then, now that the feeling is present, this means that Allah wants to grant us salvation from this chastisement. In the past, the level of intelligence of the people was low, and very few people entertained doubts, confusion, and questions about the religion. However, this mode of thinking has now changed, and people are asking more and more questions. It is natural that when intelligence increases, then questions would also be raised in the minds of the people that were not thought of previously. And these doubts and confusions must be removed from the minds of the people, and the questions that they pose and the needs of their intelligence must be answered. It is not possible that you can say to such a person that he should forget his questions and just return to how the previous generations were. Rather, this is a very good opportunity to acquaint the people with the truth and teachings of Islam. It is not possible to explain the truth to an ignorant, illiterate person, and thus in regards to the guidance and leadership of the previous generation, whose level of thought was low, it was necessary for us to express the religion and convey it to them in a particular way through a particular form of writing. However, today, that old form of propagation and that old form of writing has absolutely no worth or value. We must, and this is absolutely necessary, reform ourselves. and have a deep restructuring in this part of our actions. We must be well acquainted with the logic, thinking and language of the day and must work for the guidance and leadership of the people in this manner. The level of intelligence of the past generation was so low that if in a gathering a person was to speak things that went against other things that he said in the same gathering, then no one would have noticed or complained about this. However, today, if a young adult who is in the 10th or 12th grade were to go and sit at the feet of the member of a lecturer, he would be able to pick up 5 or 6, maybe even more problems with the lecture. We must pay attention to their thoughts and intelligence, and thus, we can no longer tell them to be quiet and stop wasting time. As you know, it was not this way in the past. In the past, a person could recite 1,000 lines of poetry in one sitting or other words of phrase that were completely opposite of one another, and not a single person would have understood that what the person was saying was going against his own words. For example, a person would first say that no action can take place without a cause. Allah is much greater than that he would perform actions except for a cause. The person would say this fact and everyone would agree with him, and it's right after saying this he were to say, when fate comes, the eyes are blinded. Once again, everybody supported this claim and confirmed its reality. There's a story that when the king of Nishapur had come to Tehran, a great number of people gathered around him at the base of the minbar due to the beautiful voice that he had. A prominent leader of the community said to him, Seeing as how such a great number of people have gathered at the feet of the minbar when you speak, why don't you articulate a few rational words to them and stop wasting their time? The king replied, these people do not have the ability to understand rational speech. Rational words can only be spoken to people who have intelligence, and these people do not possess any intelligence. The leader replied that the king was wrong in his synopsis, and it was not as he said. The king retorted that it was exactly how he said and that he would prove it to the leader. One day, when the leader was in the audience, the king started to speak on the minbar about the tragedies that befell the Ahlul Bayt in the city of Kufa, Iraq. He recited some poetry in a beautiful, sorrowful voice which made the people break into tears. He then said, "Be calm, be calm, be calm." After everyone calmed and quiet down, he said, I would like to describe to you the scene of the children of Abu Abdullah while in the city of Kufa. When the Ahlul Bayt entered into the city of Kufa, the weather was so hot. The sun was beating down upon them so much that it felt like fire was being placed above their heads. The young children of the family were all thirsty, and because of the intense heat, they were very hot. They were then put onto the saddle-less camels, and since the ground was full of ice, the camels kept slipping on the ice, and thus the young children fell off the camel onto the ground and started crying, "Oh, we are thirsty. What the shaka. Oh, we are thirsty." Reasons why people gravitate towards ethnism. Incidentally, there are other people who have been able to recognize the things which pain this generation and have been able to misuse these youth and misguide them. What part did the teachings of materialism, which have been appeared in this country, use which were able to make people sacrifice their lives for these things and for the purpose of ethnism? They used the same part that we are after, since they knew that this generation was in need of something. They knew that they needed a school of thought which would be able to answer their questions, and thus they presented such a thought ideology to them. They knew that this generation possessed a series of great societal ideals and aims which they wanted to reach, and wanted these things to prove true for themselves, and thus these materialists made these their same ideals and aims. Thus they were able to pull many people towards themselves, and with what sort of self-sacrifices on their part and what kind of closeness. When a person is found to have a serious need for something, he does not really think of the good and bad in that thing. When the stomach is hungry for food, it does not really pay attention to the type of food it gets. It will eat whatever it finds, simply to satisfy the hunger. The soul is in the same way. If it reaches to a stage that it is hungry for a school of thought to follow, and such a school which is run on some predefined and known principles, it is able to answer the questions brought forth and is able to tackle all of the issues of the monotonous world and the societal issues which are placed in front of it, then it will not care if the beliefs are based on strong logic or not. Thus we see that humanity is not really after firm and logical speech, Either it is after an organized and well-prepared thought which would be able to answer all of the day-to-day questions that come forth. We, the philosophers, knew that all these words were nonsense, and although it was meaningless, the appropriate philosophy was in fact a demanding exigency which filled a vacancy and paved the room for its place, and thus it was accepted. Signs of intellectual development. After a child passes through the stage of being breastfed and the power of his brain and the powers of discernment has developed, he then starts to ask questions about the things around him, and he must be ready to answer his question according to his level of understanding. We must not say to him, "Do not be nosy," or "What is it to you?" or things such as this. The child asking questions is a sign that his brain is developing and that he is thinking. These questions also show that his spiritual powers have developed and have taken a firm hold within him. These questions are a natural sign. They are a sign of creation. The creation announces to others that it constantly needs something new within itself, and thus those people who are around the child must give him what he asks for. The same thing can be said for society. If within society a new feeling or understanding is brought forth, then this too is a sign of development and progress of the society. It is also a sign that the elements within the society have a new need which must be met. These types of things must be shown as things which are different from the low desires and the need of worshipping the self, and that we should never assume that these questions are somehow a form of following the lower desires. Thus, when these things come about, we must immediately keep in mind the following words of the Quran. Into te aksara man fil azi yuzilluka an sabilillah. If you were to follow a majority of the people on the earth, then they would definitely misguide you from the path of Allah. In addition, we read, and if you were to follow their lower desires instead of the haq or truth, then surely the heavens and the earth would have become corrupt. Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 71. The abandonment of Quran. Today, we have a complaint that we must address to this new generation, which is, why are they not acquainted with the Quran? Why are they not being taught the Quran in their schools? Even if we go to the universities, we see that the Muslim university students cannot even recite the Quran. Of course, it is unfortunate that this has occurred. However, we must ask ourselves, what steps have we taken to help them in this path? Do we assume that with the lessons of Fiqh, Sharia and Quran, which are being taught in the Islamic schools or madaris, that this is enough for the new generation to become completely acquainted with the Quran? What is more amazing is that the previous generations were also distant from and had abandoned the Quran. And then we wish to complain to the new generation why they have not developed a relationship with the Quran. Without doubt, the Quran has truly been alienated from ourselves, and then we still expect the new generation to hold on to the Quran. At this point, we will prove to the readers how we have alienated ourselves from the sacred book. If a person's knowledge is that of the science of the Quran, meaning that he does a lot of contemplation upon the contents of the Quran, and if he knows the complete interpretation of the Quran, how much respect would such a person have amongst us? None. However, if a person was to know Kifaya of Akhund Mullah Kazim Khorasani, which is one of the major books in the field of Usul al-Fiqh that the students of the theological seminary need to study as they progress in their studies to reach the highest level of learning, then he would be respected and would be considered as one with integrity. Thus, the Quran is truly unknown and has become distant from us, and this is the same complaint that the Quran itself will proclaim. We are all included in the protests and objections of the Messenger of Allah when he complains to Allah. Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi takhazu hazal qur'ana mahjura. O my Lord, surely my nation took this Quran as something trivial. Surah Al-Furqan, verse 30. Approximately 1 month ago, one of our great scholars had gone to the holy cities in Iraq and narrated that he visited Ayatollah Khomeini. He said to the Ayatollah, why have you stopped the lessons in Tafsir which you were previously giving? The Ayatollah replied to him that there were many obstacles and difficulties in offering classes on Tafsir of the Quran. The scholar then told Ayatullah Hui, Allama Tabatabai has continued his classes on tafsir of the Quran in Qom, and thus most of his time is spent in this area of study and research. Ayatullah Hui replied, Ayatullah Tabatabai has sacrificed himself, he has withdrawn himself from the society. And he is right. It is amazing that in the most sensitive issues of the religion, if we see a person who sacrifices his entire life to study the Quran, then he will fall into thousands of difficulties and problems from the point of view of his food, overall life, his character within the society, his respect, and he will be removed from and deprived of many things. However, if he was to spend his entire life in the study of books such as Kifaya, then he would be worthy of receiving everything. Thus, in summary, we can find thousands of people who know Kifaya very well. They also know the replies to the points brought up in Kifaya, and they even know the replies to the replies that have been given. And they even know the replies to the replies of the replies of Kifaya. However, we cannot find even two people who know the Quran properly. If you ask any scholar about the words of the Quran, they will say that they must go back and refer to the tafsir of the Quran. What is even more amazing than this is that the older generation has acted in this regard to the Quran. However, we had higher hopes that the new generations of the youth would be able to read the Quran, understand it, and act upon it. If the previous generations had not strayed away from the Quran, then without doubt, this new generation too would not have been led astray from the path of the Quran. Thus, it is ourselves who have acted in this way to earn the wrath and curse of the Prophet and the Quran. In relation to the Quran, the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that in the presence of Allah, the Quran is an intercessor, and if intercession will be accepted, and in relation to those people who ignore the Quran, it will complain to Allah, and its complaints will be accepted as well. It is both the older generation and even the newer generation who have done an injustice to the Quran and continue to do so. It is the previous generation who had initiated this act of ignoring the Quran, and it is the newer generation who are continuing in their footsteps. This in conclusion, in the issue of leadership of the youth, more than anything else, there are two things which we must do. Number one, we must first recognize that which is troubling this generation. Once we have done this, then we can sit and think the cure and remedy for their problems, since without knowing what is troubling them, it is not possible to go forth and cure the illness. The second thing is that the older generation must first correct themselves. The older generation must ask forgiveness for the greatest sin which they have committed, that is, they have left and ignored the Quran. We must all return back to this noble Quran and place the Quran in front of us, and then march forward under the shadow of the guidance of the Quran, so that we will be able to reach to happiness and perfection. Selections of Ahadith on the youth. Number one, the Messenger of Allah has said, the period of the youth is from the stages of obsession. Number two, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam has said, the ignorance of the young person is excusable, and his knowledge is limited. 3. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says, there are two things which people do not recognize, the greatness of until they lose them, their youth and good health. 4. The Messenger of Allah has said, the best of your youth are those who resemble your old people, and the worst of your old people are those who resemble your young people. 5. Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said, anytime Waraka ibn Nafil would go to see Khadija bint Khuwaylid, he would advise her as such. You should know that surely the young person who has good behavior is the key to all goodness and is kept away from all evil, while the young person who has bad behavior is kept away from all goodness and is the key to all evil. 6. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, you should know that may Allah have mercy upon you. Surely you are living in a time in which those who profess to be on the truth are very few in number. The youth are obstinate, the young people are sinners, and the scholars are hypocrites. Few selections of ahadith regarding training of the youth. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, surely the heart of the youth is like the uncultivated ground. It will accept whatever you throw upon it, and that is what will grow from it. Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salam, said to a companion named Al-Ahwal, "Have you been to Basra?" The man replied, "Yes." The Imam then asked him, "How did you find the enthusiasm of the people in regards to this issue of the wilaya and imamate of the Ahlul Bayt and the acceptance of it?" The man replied, "I swear by Allah, surely those people who follow and accept this are few in number. They work upon this, propagating this belief to others, even though they are small in number." The Imam replied to him, "I advise you to work on the youth in educating them on these issues, since surely they are quicker to accept all good things, seeking knowledge while young. The Messenger of Allah has said, the person who seeks knowledge while in his youth is similar to the act